Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Sophia Sardino, Cecil Goodwin, Nell, Masha Weber, James Candelino, Kit Buss, Rocket Corgi, Terence Rollin with a Grand, Connor Adelaide, Rowan Gray, Liz McGregor, Yala Saeed Haas, HHHH, Ex Libris Crow, Ryan Norrie, Ivana A. Villamil, Dump Bucket, O55K, Brianna Sveum, Sam. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello again. It's still us. I say still, if you've started listening here rather than the last episode, don't.
It might be interesting.
Don't let Johnny tell you what to do. Live your best life. Jumping in the middle
sense.
Of the story. Don't understand anything.
Middle of the episode.
So this is episode 2 of our Dusk Hollow PD actual play. There's been a murder. No, it's not a surprise. You guys have been investigating him for like an hour now.
Still maintain it's just a massive heart attack. Just an enormous heart attack.
In the sense that something attacked his heart in a weird way. Then yes.
Definitely the housekeeper.
Oh yeah, with the poison broth that you insisted on guzzling.
I was
like a
hungry,
kid at a candy
okay?
store.
Is that just because Sasha was hungry?
Yes, it's entirely because Sasha was so hungry.
Hold on, so are you
made
saying...
my character eat stew.
Do you... Does... Gabrielle Schreiber believed that the stew might have been poisoned.
No, because she did eat some and she's
okay.
Still fine.
Okay, cool.
Wait, is she still fine?
Yeah, let's say yeah.
For now, she hasn't noticed any worrying symptoms, but we'll see how she rolls, I guess.
Okay.
I love that. Is she fine? Literally. It depends. What's your fortitude?
So, you have a few clues to follow up.
Can we introduce ourselves?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Ugh.
It's not how Johnny rolls in any show.
Who
she's
are
in.
You? Actually, in this system, I do basically no rolling.
That's fine, because I hate what Alex said anyway.
So, Lowry, who are you?
Oh, hello, I'm Lowry. I produce the Magnus Archives, and I'm playing Emma Walensky, conspiracy theorist.
Extraordinaire.
No, very much not extraordinary.
I am really good.
Very, very
bargain bin conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theorist, extraordinaire. And... Frank, who are you?
Hi, I'm Frank. I voice Basira in the Magnus Archives, and I am playing Detective Sergeant Carl Hasselbeck.
Alex, who are you?
I am Alex Newell. I voice Martin, and I'm playing Archie Murdoch, who I'm rapidly coming to realise is Martin's American cousin. He wasn't meant to be, but he just kind of is.
Oh, no wonder I hate him.
And Sasha?
I'm playing Gabrielle Schreiber.
Yeah, but who are you?
Oh, sorry, yeah, no, I'm Sasha. I'm still Sasha, me, Sasha. I play Georgie on the Magnus Archives, and I'm playing Gabrielle Schreiber, skeptic, again, of regular proportions.
Yep. And we are playing Dusk Hollow PD, a micro setting from MacGuffin & Company, which is myself and Sasha's games company.
It's real good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. And we're using the system The Cthulhu Hack by Paul Baldowski.
We did another game of yours over on the gaming feed, if you want to go and listen to that.
But I feel like is that an end of the episode plug that we should probably do?
Yeah, maybe. Definitely. Yeah.
Just do it every 5 minutes.
Cross promotion. Gotta look at another feed. There's a weird energy in this room, and it's mainly coming from me.
That's an accurate statement.
Yeah.
So, last time you found a Bodhi. There were all sorts of cool clues, mm-hmm. all sorts of interesting leads.
Oh, were there? I mean, I don't know about all the rest of you, but I definitely didn't notice any clues whatsoever.
That's fine.
Well, I'm covered in blood now.
That's only because you took a nap in the garden.
No, it was
you
before
didn't,
that.
You didn't take a nap in the garden. You
took
didn't
a
take
nap on the corpse.
You don't sleep. You can't sleep when you're on duty. All you can do is shotgun coffee.
It's true.
That's the rules. Probably. I don't think we put that in there, but
we didn't put that
in. Yeah, no one sleeps. They just drink coffee.
That's not canon. Basically, I need
definitely
to point that
canon.
Out.
Canon. Well, support us on Patreon. Read the micro setting and find out for yourself.
Yeah.
So, what's everyone's next move?
Can I ask? So, all the information that we gathered.
You pretty much share it, unless there's a specific thing that you're like, I'm not telling anyone else about.
I mean,
about
I'm not
this.
Telling anyone that I pocketed. Oh, that is hard to say. Pocketed. Some timetables.
No.
Or that you put
fine.
Goo everywhere.
I think I've caught doing that, but yeah.
But I'm assuming that you have shared the clue of the burnt timetable.
Yes.
From the waste paper bin?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, geez, I mean, I don't think I should necessarily be what with the one suggesting things, but, I mean, you know, there's a matchbook thing for a long drop, and we could, you know, with the...
The last drop. The long drop is a different pub.
In character, I definitely said the long drop.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. The long drop is a pub that is up over 5 stories. It has a central sort of well that goes down all 5 of them and no safety rails.
I'm thinking we should probably check this because with the cigarettes and the matchbooks and...
I like your instincts, kid. Your theory. Your
thanks.
Theory with the heart, the exploding heart.
Yeah.
That is a method they use. And she winks. With both eyes.
Out of sequence. Okay, cool.
So Walensky and Murdoch are going after the... We're going to the last drop. What about you guys?
Oh, God.
I don't know that it's really... There's much point investigating more at this point. It's clearly the housekeeper.
Make the arrest kick up for
I mean, are you
the
making
episode.
The arrest?
No, we need more evidence. I mean, it's obviously the housekeeper. She found the body. No one can account for her whereabouts. She's cooked up some... cock and ball story about some perp with a scar. Well, that's convenient. Every fake perp's got a scar because you're bound to never find a blonde, tall, thin woman covered in blood with a scar over one eye. That's not going to happen. She's just sending us on a wild goose chase.
That's
and I've spent enough
like
of that time on a wild goose chase before I came here chasing geese.
Oh, it takes ages.
Why were you chasing geese?
They were criminals, hardened criminals.
That is
tale.
Not the job I sent you on.
Well, sometimes the job finds you.
So, are you guys heading back to the police station? Are you following up a different lead? Are you also going to the last drop?
Well, I have got Angela Grockle's address. Looks like she was in touch with the deceased quite a lot, so maybe that she's got some evidence against the housekeeper. She might be able to tell us more about their relationship.
Yeah.
Could help us with our inquiries.
Okay. Yeah, let's start with Frank and Sasha.
Hey, Laurie, that makes us the B team. Yeah.
You pile into the police car and drive down. The address for Angela Grockle is out in the suburbs of Dusk Hollow. Mm. The rain continues to beat down, but when you get out of the city, it becomes less oppressive and more just drab. Rows and rows of identical houses. Cars that... They just make you feel kind of sad.
So less oppressive and more repressive, right?
Little bit. All the windows, curtains closed, except they twitch sometimes, like someone's just looking out, staring at you as you roll by. Angela Grockle's house looks no different to any of the others. The only difference is that it is number 15. The one before it, number 13. The one after it, number 20. Where's 17? Or 19? Who knows?
Why is 20 on the wrong side of the road?
Good questions all.
Is there like a gap between the houses, or does it just like it's like semi-detached?
I'm going to say that there is one house's space. It looks like there should be a house, but that house is gone.
You need to find Professor Dumbledore and he'll be able to tell you where it is and you'll be able to get in.
No, he retired. He doesn't work for the Force anymore.
He went to the long
drop. Maybe we can get him.
No. Yeah, you vaguely recall one of the other detectives being assigned to some case out here where, like, a house had gone and they vanished as well. You know, it was a whole... I mean, it would have been a big thing, but, like, detectives vanish a lot, you know? Not as much as rookies, but, you know, a lot. So the house is very standard suburban home. Number 15 is on a plaque just outside in the shape of an old steam train.
And knock on the door.
There's the sound of shuffling from inside, and the door opens.
Is it an elderly steam train?
Well, she's not elderly.
But is she a steam train?
She is a steam train.
Oh, yeah, no, I should have said, no, she's not a steam train. Oh, she is a person. She's probably, like, maybe early 50s. Cardigan, corduroy skirt, well-maintained all over. Mm-hmm. Yes, can I help you at all?
You are Miss Grupple?
Mrs. Grupple, yes.
Angela Grupple.
That's me, yes. What's this about?
Detectives... What's my name?
Oh, here. Hello.
Hustleback.
Hustleback, thank you. Detectives Hustleback and Schreiber.
Oh, goodness. What can I do for you, detectives?
Well, might we come in to discuss?
Yes, no, please, absolutely. Would you like some tea, some coffee? A hot chocolate? Tall glass of water? Some juice? Grape? Mango? Orange with chunks? Don't have any non-chunk orange juice, I'm afraid, if that's what you're desperately looking for. Anyway, come in, sit down.
Thank you. Just gently try not to leave blood everywhere.
Oh, goodness. Hold on, I'll get some more doilies. You get some more doilies and places them down. Just wherever you're about to touch, you'll just place down a doily.
Under each foot as they hit the ground.
So, yes, please, take a seat. What can I do for you?
You were in contact with a Mr. Geoffrey Mariner?
Geoffrey? Yes. Charming boy. Has something happened to him?
He's dead.
Oh. Oh, no. That's very difficult to hear.
You might want to have sat down for that, miss.
It's too late for that, I'm afraid.
Sorry, I was distracted by all the doilies.
Right. Well, what brings you to my door? I mean, obviously, I was friends with him. We communicated pretty regularly, but I'm not a suspect, am I?
I am shocked. Shocked and innocent.
I mean, in my defence, I am both shocked and innocent.
Just ignore the voices in your head, ma'am.
No, she volunteered that.
Okay.
Just, yeah. You know, because it is in her defence.
It's a strange thing to say, apropos of absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, there has been a murder, you said.
You're covered in blood!
And you're covered in blood.
Did Mr. Mariner have any enemies that you know of?
Not that I know of. We didn't really talk much about his personal life.
But what did you talk about?
Oh, trains, mostly. I mean, do you know much about trains, detective?
I have been on several.
Wow, it's fascinating business, steam trains especially. It's all about the power of water, you see. It always used to be canals. Did you know that? There was a decade when everyone was building canals, connecting the industry with canals. But that sort of water, slow, boring, useless. And then the train. The power of steam, you see, detectives. Harnessing the power of steam to revolutionise the world. But people have forgotten. With all this electricity. Sorry, it's a little bit of a hobby horse. I mean, of course, this is the sort of thing that we used to talk about by our letters, myself and Geoffrey. I believe he was writing a book on it.
Yes, I did see a manuscript.
Could you both roll me smokes, actually? Because we're having a bit of a chat.
I've
got a six.
Frank can.
Oh, no, I can't roll flashlights. Yeah, I'm not giving Frank any chance to pick up on any visual clues of this place. That's a seven.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Ooh.
Have a little bit of team spirit, Alex.
No. Failure is the best outcome.
So, Yes, anyway, I'm dreadfully sorry going off on one of my little rants. Obviously, it's not particularly relevant to your case. It's not relevant to your case, is it, detectives?
Well, that remains to be seen.
Oh, I see.
Quickly, out of character, because I forgot to make some notes, wasn't there a particular kind of train that he was really...
Yes, the British Rail standards.
Okay.
BR standards. And the letter that you found from Angela, the most recent one that Lowry found, seemed to... It seemed like it would have accompanied a package of some sort. It refers to, here is...
Mm-hmm. Perhaps an enormous 32 to 64 ton package? Perhaps a train package?
I mean, probably not. Postal service is impressive, Alex.
No, this case is coming together. It's very clear. What happened is
perfect crime. Use a train to smuggle another train.
It's simple. Someone posted him a whole train and he had a heart attack from how happy he was at being posted a train. This case is solving itself.
Yeah, open and shut.
Much like his chest. Heyo.
It's not very shut anymore.
Did you know his housekeeper? She apparently handled a lot of his post.
Not personally. I think he made reference to her sometimes. Nelson or Nelly or Napoleon? I don't really know. I don't remember. Neil, maybe?
And do you remember what he said about her? Was it positive, negative, neutral?
He went into quite some detail about how she wasn't planning to kill him at any point in the near or distant future, how much he trusted her with
very
his
convenient.
Life.
But a joke, Mrs. Grockle.
Yes, of course.
It's not really
appropriate. It's hardly in good taste, I'd say.
Well, he had a very dark sense of humour. I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
Was that a joke? Yes, of course. He wouldn't stop saying how she's definitely going to kill him. Wouldn't just go on and on.
The deceased received a package from yourself, I believe.
Oh, yes, the captain, the timetable. I don't really know much about them. They were, I mean, very little to do with me, to be honest. I simply noticed them in a curiosity shop and posted them his way, thought they might be good for his research.
Is that so? That's not what it sounded like from the note that you sent?
Oh, I mean, he was very interested in that sort of paraphernalia. So I simply noticed it in a shop, purchased it in that shop.
The note that you sent referenced something that we have been looking for? Sounds like
yes.
It was something you were both very interested
in.
We both like
trains. You saw my house number. It's a steam train with a 15 on it.
Yes, I noticed that. I'm a detective.
Yes, well, you know, we're both very interested in trains, but We'd been looking for timetables and paraphernalia that regarding some of the old British Rail standard trains for some time. I noticed it in a...
Would they be steam trains or electric trains?
Oh, steam trains, of course.
Can you account for your whereabouts over the last couple of days, Mrs. Grockle?
Yes, absolutely. She wanders over, finds what looks to be a diary, and starts listing off quite a lot of very public places that she was. Well, I was in the supermarket for about 4 hours.
Not doing a murder.
yesterday. Then I decided to take in a show. You can see my tickets here. You know, I was taking a walk in the park at peak dog walking hours. I think actually, yes, here's a Polaroid that a dog walker took.
For all of you police procedural fans, this is what's called an orgy of evidence.
Orgy of alibis.
And is the ticket that she tells us,
yeah,
is that stamped or like...
Yeah, 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 it all, yeah. Like, as far as you can tell, these alibis are all solid.
What did she see?
Sorry?
What show did she see?
Casablanca.
Oh, the stage show.
No, it was a film. But it was in the theatre. Okay. They show movies sometimes.
Just interested.
Excuse me, Walensky, can you stop astral projecting into our investigation?
Sorry, apologies.
Yes, Detective, your voice changed ever so slightly there, but it's fine.
I'm sorry, I obviously need a cigarette to clear up my throat.
You really do need to install a fourth wall in this building at some point.
But yes, I can probably find you the receipt for the items if you need it.
That will be helpful, thank you. And I suppose you don't mind if we have a look around?
No, please.
How about your husband?
Oh, he's away.
Away where?
Business. Has been for several years now. Just one of my little jokes. He's dead.
Oh.
Business of decomposing. Just one of my little jokes.
I really want to set her up with the doctor. They would be really happy together.
Oh, my gosh. You go.
She will come back with a receipt from Whateley's Books and Curios for one train conductor's hat and one timetable, brackets, old. Yeah, you can have a look around her house. Make me a flashlights roll.
Okay, here we go. Six.
It's a very... It's exactly the house that you would expect this woman to have. Almost suspiciously so. It's almost a suspiciously exactly what this house you would expect this woman to have. But you can have a... You can, like, pull out all the books, see if there's a secret passage, or, like, just kick up a rug looking for a trapdoor, and you can't see anything.
Okay.
Does she have, like, a shed or anything in the garden?
Yes, she does.
Have a look around the shed.
Oh, it's locked.
Mrs. Surname?
Grockle.
Grockle. Grockle, sorry, it's been a long day.
Yes?
Can we have a look in the shed?
Of course, of course. She comes over, she unlocks the shed, she opens it up, and it's full of gardening tools.
Suspiciously full, you could say.
I mean, they're very neatly organised, not a spot of rust on any of them.
How nice is her garden?
As nice as you'd expect.
Suspiciously as nice as you'd expect.
Yes, well, you know, my Marvin loved his garden, and I've kept his tools pristine in memory of him.
Isn't that nice?
I'm glad to hear you say that. Most of the others at the WI think it's a little bit morbid.
No.
I love that your investigation technique is you're both just stonewalling simultaneously. So it's just this poor woman's like, hello, and you're just both staring. It's like, I feel like I've been pressured, but I haven't been asked a question. So.
I've asked several questions about what kind of train she's into and why she bought a hat.
I feel like in terms of accomplishing anything, we've split the teams along the wrong axis.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Frank, you get a ping on your pager. Mm-hmm. The station needs you to call in. No one has mobile phones in Dusk Hollow. Police have pagers, and they need to go to one of the rotary phone boxes that line most streets.
Yeah,
call the
station. Say my goodbye, apologise for leaving so hastily and leaving so much blood around.
That's fine. I'll just... clean it.
Bit of peroxide, great for getting blood out of fabrics.
Sad, should we be handing out that information?
Well, she said she knows.
You make it so she knows how to get blood out.
Are there any final questions?
Not yet, but don't leave town.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dream of it, Detective. So meanwhile, at the last drop. The last drop is a dingy establishment, still lit partially by gaslight. It's down some stairs from the street, so it's like one of them basement bars, you know, them cool basement bars, but also dangerous.
Is the long drop directly above the last drop?
It's the building opposite, and just sort of towers over.
Bit of a turf war.
I mean, you joke, but yes, there have been quite a few murders about it.
Only one drop on this street.
So yeah, it's quite late now, and the place seems pretty hopping.
Now, are we talking like speakeasy style, where you've got your door with your slider and you've got to get in, or are we talking more like a bit more open-fronted?
It's a bit more open-fronted. The door is clearly closed. Like, it's clearly a bar which doesn't want you coming in,
okay.
But it's not actively trying to stop you.
Kid.
Hmm.
Before we go in,
yeah.
Hold your hand out.
Which one?
Either.
Okay, I hold out both.
Okay. I just sprinkle some salt into one of your hands.
I lick it.
Shouldn't do that. It's bad for your blood pressure.
You know.
In fact, take a point of damage.
Down to seven.
Should have really made you make a constitution check, but you're probably predisposed
no,
to it.
No, because then I'd fail the constitution check and take
fair.
Two damage. I played
that's
this
fair.
Game before.
That's fair.
Good to know. You passed the test.
Okay. Yes. I then go in the inside.
Yep. As you open the door, a figure sort of bumps into you as they're walking past.
Are they tall, thin, female,
no, they're
blonde,
short,
and with a scarf?
No, they're short, broad, and wearing an anorak.
All right, then.
Sorry. Wander off.
Okay, so, I mean, we ask the at the front with the bar person, and then from there we'll do the... thing. Yeah.
I trust you, kid. I trust you. You've got good instincts.
Oh, geez, that's a lot of pressure really early. Okay.
Look,
so
just...
the place goes a little bit quiet as you start to walk in, because you're, you know, you at least are in police uniform, Alex, and there are enough people here who are definitely some criminals, but they're like, giving you evils.
Oh, it's okay. I've seen how to deal with this on TV.
Kid, low profile, low profile.
Oh, yeah, you said that, like, metagame, you said that exactly the right time. Oh, right, yeah. No cops here.
I just grab, she grabs you and just forcibly walks you to the bar.
Behind the bar is the owner of The Last Drop. She is, like, if you're looking for someone with a scar, you found someone with basically more scar than face.
Case closed.
Well, I mean, just every, like, she's wearing one of them short sleeve, I was going to say one of them short sleeve bar shirts, but is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay, I know what you mean as well.
She's wearing one of them short sleeve bar shirts we all have a reference for. And all the, like, just every bit of skin's got scars or bruises. Like, she runs a very rough pub and cleans glasses with a, like, the glass is dirty. She washed it in some dirty water. She's cleaning it with a dirty rag. Well, what do you want, cops?
Two whiskies and some information.
And I'll have a lemonade.
One whiskey. Pours it out. Two whiskies. Pours it out. Lemonade. Pours you a shot of lemonade. And the information I'll give you is I don't talk to cops.
I've got a plan. Is there someone at the bar next to me?
Yes.
It's a child. No, I'm sorry.
It is a child.
Okay.
They're about eight. They're just staring into their whiskey glass like they've got problems.
You're not a cop, are you?
No, mister.
Cool. If I ask you some questions, could you then ask this bartender some questions?
I don't talk to cops.
Dad.
No,
nice. Oh, jeez, I really thought I had it there.
Nice try, kid. Thinking outside the box, I like it.
I know what happens to snitches.
Really? What does happen to snitches?
Well, at lunchtime on the playground, you get shivved.
Ah, jeez. Oh, jeez. This really isn't Morgan's Hill anymore, is it?
It's a rough town, mister.
Oh, wow. Oh, jeez. Oh, man, oh, jeez.
Does the bar person have a name tag?
Yeah. It is an expletive.
Beep.
Okay, I can't maintain it. Mara. Mara Brack.
Mara, we might be cops, but this goes all the way to the top. Like, you and me, we're in this together, okay? I've gone American now. I'm not American.
I don't know who you are.
That's okay. You don't need to know who I am.
I do, though.
Do you know Jeffrey Mariner?
No.
Is there the equivalent of a sense of motivation? Well,
no. Make me a smokes roll.
Okay.
Make me a smokes roll.
So I've got 10. I'm very charming, remember? That's what my character sheet.
Well, what are your expertises?
Flattery is one of them, which I feel is quite relevant here.
Okay, yeah, you want to try with flattery and make me a smokes roll.
Listen, here, you sexy bar lady person. Sexy.
Yeah, you clearly do not have flattery as an expertise.
Have that, but I could talk to him about a Stevenson regulator till the cows come home.
Nine.
Okay, yeah. How are you going to flatter Mara Brack, scarred owner of The Last Drop?
You and me, we're cut from the same cloth. I see the toughness in your eyes. You don't survive in a town like this for as long as you and I have without something inside you. Some strength inside you.
And a lot of bullets.
I can see.
Scar tissue's too thick, can't cut them out. They're just in there.
I toast you with a whiskey and down it. To you, Mara. To you.
I like you. Though, obviously, you know, if you do threaten my establishment, I'd probably have to kill you and leave you in the back.
I respect you for that. I respect you for that.
I haven't killed any cops that you can prove, but, you know. You know.
Were they cops through and through, though? Were they human? We don't know. Let's ask no questions.
I feel like I've lost control of this conversation a little bit. So what are you here for?
Jeffrey Mariner. The name, does it mean anything to you?
Nothing.
Right, okay, I believe you this time.
Okay.
Well, I mean, so I have an ex-wife, okay, who I have to find to give her the divorce settlement. So I'm looking for a woman who is tall, thin, blonde, with a scar on one eye so that I can give her lots of money and then she will give some money to the people that helped me find her.
Make me a smokes roll.
Yeah! I can't remember how to do that. I am on... Oh, I've got a D8! I won't even die from this one. Oh, it's a 6. I saw every single one of you waiting for that one. I saw you, all of you.
I don't know.
You're Marie's ex.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look. I'm not going to be a current, am I?
She said you had a beard.
Oh, I shaved it off to prove my love.
She said you were like 6'8".
I wore platform shoes to prove my love.
She said you weren't a cop.
I became a cop after, because of my grief, because I wasn't a cop at first to prove my love.
I mean, these are all very good reasons for her to divorce you, to be honest.
I mean,
she's round the back there. You can have a, you can go have
a
chat.
Oh no, absolutely. There's a reason why, you know, I'm paying the settlement.
Sure. Well, just so you know, she was with a fella earlier.
No. Could you give me an accurate description of the fella?
Don't know. He had a big coat on, kept his hood up.
An anorak.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of them cagoules.
Cagoule. Okay. Well, thanks.
Which, for our American listeners, I don't know what words actually translate over the pond, but it's another word for an anorak.
A perv jacket.
Yeah, one of them.
Emma downs the second whiskey and the lemonade. And
could you make me a constitution roll, please?
Uh-oh, I've got a 7.
The whiskey was fine, but it's the lemonade. Oof.
Oh, 8.
Yeah, I mean, Frank's right. The whiskey, no problem. But the lemonade, it's old. It's probably been about a decade since someone's had a lemonade here. And you are feeling remarkably unwell. I'm probably going to ask you to roll a d4 and lose that many hit points.
Do what I do. Roll max. Or 1. That's fine too.
You lose a hit point.
Lame.
I'm now on 11.
Lame.
Come on, kid. Let's go see your ex.
So, yeah, the tall, thin, blonde woman in, like, a very, very sharp suit. Sitting in the back, sipping a tall drink. Close-cropped blonde hair. Scar over one eye.
It was Marie, right? Mess game. It was Marie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marie?
Who's asking?
Walensky and Murdoch, FBI.
No, you ain't.
No, you're...
That always works on TV shows.
That badge says Duskolo PD. I know a B-cap when I see one.
I thought you just say FBI.
Okay, kid, I've got this. Marie.
Sure.
That's a nice suit. I flatter.
Oh, thank you. Cap.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to sprinkle some salt on her. Does she dissolve?
She does not. She stares at you.
Now try the goo.
Frank, the
what's
goo
this about, officers?
Does the name Jeffrey Mariner mean anything to you?
No.
Well, that's that case closed. Okay. Sorry for disturbing you. I'll
make me a flashlights roll.
Okay.
Both of us?
Mm. No.
Okay, good.
Not you.
Good.
1.
Yes!
Okay, so I'm down to a d4.
You notice that the cuffs of her white shirt under her very sharp suit have some pretty clear dried blood on them. You notice that. She notices you noticing. She leaps up and makes a run for it.
I try and tackle her.
Okay, make me a...
Let's just like cricket.
Let's have a strength check.
Okay, so I need to roll lower than my strength for this one,
don't
I?
Yes, you do.
Come on, lucky 0 on a d20. All right. And it is on a d20, yeah?
You take her down. Like, she's tall, but she's like a bundle of twigs. She just goes down. Hey, get off me! Get off me!
Nice work, kid.
No, I want a cigarette. Give me a cigarette. I want a cigarette. Give me a cigarette.
Sure. Okay.
A cigarette. Give me a cigarette.
She reaches into her jacket and hand you a Marlboro Red.
Nah. I'm arresting you for possession of Marlboro Red.
Are you? Are you saying those words?
I think I'm going to have to, yeah, because I'm a rookie and that's how I roll.
Okay.
Yes, kid, feel it. Outside the box.
The bar goes quiet and the door opens and in walks a judge flanked by some officials from the town.
Oh, this is so convenient.
The judge walks over. He's tall, he's wearing his robes. Officer Murdoch.
Yeah.
You've arrested this woman?
I am trying to, but there's so much going on.
What are the charges?
Having bloody cuffs, having a scar, possession of Marlborough Reds.
None of these are crimes, officer.
No, but they are because they're tied to the murder, so they're crimes too. That's help me, Walensky. Why are you not helping me?
You're the only
None
person
of this
I trust.
Is sufficient evidence to convict of a crime. I hereby throw out this case, the case of Marie for possession of Marlborough Reds. A note will be passed to your captain to follow up on this.
Oh. What about loitering? Can we get her on loitering?
The judge has already turned and started to walk away. The officials from the town hall follow behind him. The door closes. And just, you know, life resumes in the last drop.
What a nice man.
You would... None of that is weird to you. Just so you know, that is how justice works in Dusk Hollow. When you make an arrest, the judge turns up, determines whether or not you've correctly arrested the person.
Naturally.
If they're guilty, they're taken away.
I need you to
If
know.
Not, the chief shouts at you.
I need you to know, at some point, we need to have this as a TV series and cast Martin Freeman as the straight man who just acknowledges how weird this is and no one else ever does.
So can we arrest her again? Is it kind of the same rules of if you bring something to court
it's
once?
It's a real bad idea to antagonise the judge.
Mm. What if you arrest the judge?
I mean, you've heard that somebody tried once, but, you know, they don't work for Dusk Hollow PD anymore. And people tell, like, if people are suspended or they lose their position in the police department, they tend to end up as, like, the subject of the next crime.
Mm. Well, that's not weird or suspicious at all.
I didn't kill him, okay?
And how did you know he was dead?
I mean, he wasn't when I got there.
So he wasn't there. He wasn't dead when you got there.
I was told, go there. I was told he'd be dead already. I was told to cut the whistle out. I was told to take the cap. And I was told to return it. But when I got there, he was still reading his stuff. He was doing his whole dance. I don't know what the hell. So I stood there. I had a smoke. I waited. He didn't see me. I was outside the window. And then he keeled over dead. So when he was dead, like I was told he was going to be, I went in. Look, this whole job has been a hell of a lot more of a headache than it was meant to be.
Who gave you the job?
She's starting to convulse ever so slightly.
Oh, no. Quickly, Marie, quickly. Who gave you the job?
Convulsing and you're
foaming at the mouth.
Foaming isn't going to help you, you know?
Her limbs flail,
stop
knocking the tall frame.
Kid, don't touch her. Kid, don't touch her.
Onto the table, and it sort of flows around, dripping down as she... Dead.
That's unfortunate.
Just to the wider bar in general, does anyone know what happens now? Normally they're dead when I turn
Mara will lean over. I mean, usually the ambulance comes, about half an hour. We usually just walk around until then.
I mean, okay. Can I touch... Oh, that sounds terrible. Can I search the body?
Just be careful. Don't touch the froth. Okay? That's how you get contaminated.
Okay.
It looks like she's been poisoned.
Oh, no, the stew.
I proceed to search the now corpse, fresh corpse, without touching the skin, maybe using napkins and taking far longer than it really needs to.
Sure. There is a note with a time. The time was about 10 minutes ago, and the place was the last drop. There is a matchbook for the last drop, a pack of Marlboro Red cigarettes, and that's about it.
Okay.
She did have a bag, but the bag is now empty.
Right.
That's not very human behaviour, is it, kid? Carrying an empty bag around. You know.
Yes.
I can tell you know.
Yes.
Can we take the body to the doctor?
Yeah. Like once the ambulance, like you can call it in, and Doc Smiley will be there pretty shortly. So yeah, Frank, are you heading to? Are you calling in?
Yes.
The findings of the autopsy are ready.
Guess I'll come back to the coroner's office and...
Sasha, are you going with Hasselbeck or are you following a different lead?
I'm following a different lead, so I'm actually going to go and see Jeffrey Mariner's lawyer. Because, you know, in 9 cases out of 10, a murder's done by the spouse. In those other cases where it's not the spouse, 9 times out of 10, it's the person who found the body. And in the other cases, 9 times out of 10, it's to do with the will. So I'm...
And those 60% of the time, I'm right every time.
Those are the three kinds of murder. It's the spouse, it's the person who found the body, it's the person who benefits in the will. Three kinds of murder. So I'm going to go see who was named in the will, because if it's the housekeeper, I mean, case closed.
So all of a crime is 0.1% of the time?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Jeffrey Mariner does not have a lawyer.
All our murders.
Oh, he does not have a lawyer?
No, he was quite young, he doesn't have a will yet.
He doesn't have a will? Okay, well, who is his next of kin?
Parents.
His parents. And they're conveniently out of the country. Right, that's it. I'm tracking them down. In fact, housekeeper will know. Back to Nelly.
Sure. Yeah, what can I do for you?
All right, so you mentioned that Mr. Mariner's parents are out of the town? Out of town?
Yes, I think they're in Milan at the moment.
Okay, I see. And how long have they been there?
I don't know. A few weeks, maybe.
Do they also live here at this address?
Not often.
What do you mean, not often?
I mean, they're not often
it's
in
town. It's a yes or a no question. Do they live here or not?
Sometimes. They're rich. Rich people live all over the place.
So this is one of their legal abodes?
Yes.
Okay. And did Jeffrey Mariner have any money of his own?
Not really, just the allowance he was given. Which was a lot. Like, he was also rich, but...
Okay.
Back at the police station...
Yes.
Dr. Smilton is there, over the corpse, looking very pleased with himself.
Which corpse? We have two now.
You guys can come in. He'll take one look at the body that you guys have brought in. Poisoning. Something in our drink, I think. Yes, probably a murder. Anyway, this body, though, is fascinating.
Is it?
Yes, so obviously the cut marks on the chest, amateur stuff, dreadfully done. I mean, I'm not even sure how sharp the knife was, but strange thing is, the heart, completely gone, but completely gone so neatly, as if it just stopped being there at all.
Were there any, like, whistle-shaped holes in the middle of the chest?
What a fascinating question. Yes, what there was, where the heart should be, in the muscle around it, there was a burn mark in the shape of... Well, it was a cylindrical shape. I hadn't really thought what it might be, but now you say a whistle, yes, was just in the shape of an old whistle. And you can see here, he just wrenches up a bit of skin and points. You see these little markings here? Numbers. I think numbers etched into whatever was in where the heart should be burned into the flesh. Isn't this fascinating?
Can we take a rubbing?
Oh, I already
of
did.
The flesh?
Yes, rub the corpse.
He hands you a very, like, gooey piece of paper.
Ah, jeez.
The numbers. This is a gooey kind of day.
The numbers 9F-92251.
With my expertise in engineering and, on the off chance, library use, although that's not a Dewey decimal, I don't believe. Does this ring any bells?
I mean, exactly. It might be a train designation.
Cool.
Given what else you've seen. Hasselbeck, get in here! You can hear the chief shouting all the way.
No, that's not
down.
My surname. I checked. That's your surname.
This is something you've done, rookie.
It can't have been something I've done. I'm still wearing most of the mistakes I've made today. I could just hand them back if someone asks.
The chief is sitting in his office chewing a cigar. If a mountain could be really pissed off with how you're handling this case, that is the chief. His moustache is bristling, which is always, always a bad sign.
Hasselbeck, what the hell are you doing with this case?
Pardon?
I got City Hall breathing down my neck, wasting the judge's time on some trumped-up charge about cigarettes. Not only that, that corpse, full of salt. Why was it full of salt, Hasselbeck? And I'm being told that one of your detectives is trying to hassle the Mariners? Rich people! Rich people were very important in this town and are doing their own thing. And one of your detectives is bothering them when they're doing whatever important rich people think that they are doing. Does this sound like your case should have been handled like this? And why are you covered in blood? Have you shot a perp?
I was investigating a murder.
All right, I'll give you that one. I'm not happy with you, Hasselbeck. Now explain what's going on with this case. This is a big case, and I've got City Hall breathing down my neck.
Can we hear this?
Yes.
Walensky, I think you're in so much trouble.
Like, when the chief is expressing his opinion about the handling of a case, all the crockery and the mugs just in this, they just vibrate ever so slightly.
What you got to say for yourself, Hasselbeck?
Jeffrey Mariner.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, sir, he was found dead earlier today.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the case.
Yeah.
He throws down the case file.
Well, I'm just reminding you of the importance of the victim, because there's just a lot of leads to track down.
Okay, well, when's it going to be solved? I need results, Hasselbeck.
Well, that's why there's been such a mess. A rich man like that makes a lot of enemies. We've just got to shake things up to...
Really, because according to this file, he had no known enemies.
It's rich. Everyone's his enemy. Everyone wants to be rich in this town.
So how close are you to solving it?
Well, I'm looking at the coroner's report now, sir, and I'd say we're really...
You got 24 hours, Hasselbeck.
Yeah, that's what I expected.
24 hours or you're off the case and you're off this force.
Okay, sir.
Now get out of my office!
You can have your flashlights back now.
Nice. It's just the standard meeting with the chief, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, very, yeah. Pretty, like, it went quite well.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've had this enough to know how to massage his ego a bit.
Can I choose not to ever get my flashlights back so I don't have to have that conversation? Can I just accept being incompetent at my job, please?
So, on that gruff, shouty note, probably going to call the second episode to a close.
I found a legitimate clue, guys. Legitimate clue.
I am very excited.
Yeah, but then she died.
Oh.
I've got a legitimate clue. I've not been following it, but I might later.
I've got a clue that I don't think is legitimate.
Maybe this isn't the 0.1% of crimes, but...
The dramatic conclusion to this adventure of Dusk Hollow PD will be coming in, I believe, 2 weeks.
That sounds about right to me.
Okay, so we will see you then.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
This episode is distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. For more information, visit rustyquill.com, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today, I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout desperate to find somewhere to belong, and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.